Welcome back into the Lacrosse Tribune UBL Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew. I am your host of this podcast and the beat writer for UBL football and all college sports here at the Lacrosse Tribune. We are looking at episode 12 here today, so we are chugging along. We're about almost at the halfway point of the UWL football season here in, it is the halfway point, week 5, heading into Saturday's game at Stout. UWL lacrosse is 2-2, 0-1 in the WIUC. They're receiving votes in the D3Football.com poll, and they would be number 26 if the poll went past 25. So some momentum there. If they can get a win here, possibly to climb back up and be ranked heading into the second half of the season. They're going up to Menominee this weekend to play Stout. It's a 2 p.m. start up there in Menominee if you're heading on up there. I haven't been to that stadium yet. I actually missed the game 2 years ago for a wedding, I believe, one of my friend's weddings. So I haven't been up there yet, but I've heard it's a pretty nice stadium. Menominee is a cool town. I've been up there for other things. But Stout is 3-1, and they are 1-0 in the conference coming off of last week where they beat Eau Claire. So a quick show rundown today for the midweek podcast. I'm going to give you some key points about this Stout game, a couple of keys for UWL, some guys to look out for on the Stout side, and then a really great interview that I had today with Eli McGeehan, their senior linebacker for UWL. Just a really smart and really thoughtful guy. Just a great story from him about his family and his upbringing, kind of what makes him the football player that he is, and just kind of the toughness that he brings to UWL defense that's really had great three quarters of action. They've kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks and late in the second half, and hopefully those things can start getting fixed, and some of it's going to be from the offense, but we'll get into all of that a little bit later. Before we get into the rest of the show, just want to remind you all the coverage of UWL football and all of our high school stuff is on lacrossetribune.com, and you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You just have to search Lacrosse Tribune, UW Lacrosse Football Podcast. If you are subscribing and listening on iTunes or your Apple devices, I really thank you for that because it helps me see the parts that people skip or where people tune out. Just it's helpful to know what people find interesting. We can go back and find all that stuff out and make sure that the 20 minutes-ish that you devote to this, either in your car or wherever it ends up being, is worthwhile and all interesting for you. So subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and keep following everything along on lacrossetribune.com. So looking at the Stout game, that Menominee, I believe, is homecoming for Stout, and then it's also homecoming for UW lacrosse coach Mike Schmidt, who is a Menominee native. He grew up there. He played high school football there under legendary and all-world high school football coach Joe Labuda up there with Menominee, a really powerhouse program here in Wisconsin. Mike Schmidt won his only other game against Stout at Stout as a lacrosse head coach a couple of years ago. That was 42-6. And lacrosse has beat Stout in 6 straight meetings of this game. So some good history on the lacrosse side. Some keys to the game for UWL, the run game. We keep talking about it. I know I sound like a broken record when it comes to this, but for UWL to have a chance to be the team that it wants to be, a playoff-level team, they've got to have balance on offense, or at least a productive enough run game that the defense can't load up against the pass. I think that's kind of what we saw against Whitewater, is Whitewater trusted their front 5, front 6, front 7 guys to just kind of neutralize the run game to the point where when lacrosse did throw, there were too many guys in the secondary and too much of a good pass rush that Ben Stramski and the offense really couldn't get anything done. So in my estimation right now, the only way to really slow down a pass rush for UW lacrosse, it's not like they can get a guy transferred in and start playing tackle better than what they're getting right now. So they're going to have to run better to get teams to kind of be more honest in their defense, because right now defense is kind of sell out, especially in these late in the second half moments where the game's starting to get away from lacrosse. So got to get the run game going a little bit better. And this is a good week to do it because UWL is actually bigger along the offensive front this week. This is one of the few weeks that they're going to have probably all season in the conference that their offensive line actually has a size advantage. Maybe that will change throughout the year so these kids get bigger, stronger, lifting in the college program. But right now this is a week that they are going to have some size advantage, and they need to take advantage of it. They need to get yards on the ground, and especially in short yardage situations. I wrote in my Monday column this week that They were 2 of 7 in third and three or shorter last week against Whitewater. Obviously, Whitewater's defense is incredible. They're probably going to be a national championship contender because of it. But if it's third and three, you've got to be able to get those first downs to give yourself a chance to win those games. So this is the week that lacrosse needs to step it up on that aspect. And for the defense of UW lacrosse, they've got to really contain this freshman quarterback of Stout, Sean Borgerding. He's having an outstanding start to his college career. You don't see it often, especially at that position in this conference, but he's playing well. He took the job really from a 3-year starting senior. That's really hard to do. And right now he's got 8 touchdowns to only 1 interception. So he's not only making plays for his offense, but he's also doing a good job checking the ball down when he needs to and protecting it and making sure that they end their possessions with a kick. So he's also not afraid to run with it. He's got about 40 yards rushing so far, but they've been mostly first down runs. When it's third and short, he scrambles a little bit, or he gets his team into good situations when he does try to run the ball. So he is being smart about that. So a good challenge for UWL's defense in that sense. If you remember last year's game against Stout, it was a nice ranked team versus ranked team battle late in the season. Lacrosse ends up winning 21-7. A pick six by Luke Winnen gave lacrosse a second half lead, and they finally hit Nick Holcomb on a deep pass for a touchdown that kind of sealed the game late. But it was really a defensive battle the whole way. And if you remember, lacrosse blitzed this quarterback and this receiver, or this offense, more than they have blitzed anybody probably before or since, that I've seen at least. It was one of the more aggressive performances we're ever going to see from Matt Janis' defense, where he's just sending multiple guys, because in that game, their quarterbacks really could just not handle the pressure and deliver an accurate ball. So we'll see if that's something that maybe carries over in this week's game plan, or maybe with the new quarterback, they kind of adjust things for him. From UWL's side, also, just one small tweak on the depth chart. Cole Speaker, junior tight end before this, now he's listed as a wide receiver. We don't know how much that's going to change the offense as a whole. I can't imagine too much. He's already split out quite a bit from his quote-unquote tight end role. If you want to make an NFL comparison, kind of think Jimmy Graham when he was with the Saints, lined up as a wide receiver almost more often than he did as a tight end. That's kind of where Cole Speaker is at right now. But we know Mike Schmidt said it before, and he'll probably continue saying it until it happens. They're trying to get him more and more targets. He's a guy that is just a mismatch problem, so a guy that you can expect, no matter where he lines up, that Ben Sharamsky and the offense are going to try to get the ball too. On the Stout side, some guys to keep an eye on, Levi Hammer, a freshman wide receiver they have. Might be Hamer, it's only one M. We'll see. But a freshman wide receiver, 5'10", 180 pounds. Guy is super quick. Watch some of his high school highlights, a couple of the clips he has on his huddle page from Stout. Just a really, really good player who's got 25 catches through 4 games. So they obviously go to him a lot. 453 yards and 5 touchdowns. So obviously the offense is targeting him, and they're saying that this is a guy that can give us a good matchup on every play. So somebody that Max Brower and Colton Neiman and the rest of the UWL secondary is really going to have to keep their eyes on and do a good job defending. And that's one of those unfortunate things for the UWL defense, because they really did do a good job in man coverage for about 3/4 to 3.5 quarters of the Whitewater game. It's just a couple of those 50-50 balls that they knocked down in the first half, Whitewater caught in the second. And that's the difference between you getting off the field or you just give up a big play on third down. For Stout's defense, Levi Wolf and Jed Schlegel. Wolf is a senior safety, and Schlegel is a junior safety. They are both great players on the back end. One of the better safety duos that you're going to see in the conference throughout the year. They've had to bail their defense out a lot. They've made a ton of tackles. Schlegel's up with 42, and Wolf has 35 coming into this week. That's a lot of tackles for your safety when you're at that third level of the defense. But part of that is because they come down fast and they're looking to hit guys. Once the running back crosses past the defensive line, gets towards the linebackers, they're looking to kind of take some shots and try to force some fumbles. So what that also means is that they're susceptible to getting beat deep. They'll come up. They've really bit on some play action plays that have led up some big plays for other offenses. So if UWL can protect long enough to let those things happen, we're going to see But if they are able to protect long enough, we definitely could see Ben Sheransky in this pass game be a little bit more explosive than they've been the last couple of weeks. And you'll see in my game preview later this week, probably out Saturday morning or Friday night on lacrossetribune.com. That's one of the goals. One of the goals is to get their guys the ball in space and make some bigger plays, because this kind of churn it out type of style they've been going the last couple of weeks is really, really hard to sustain. So they've got to find some ways to get some bigger chunk plays. But that's going to do it for this part of the show. We've got a good interview with Eli McGeehan coming up. Like I said, all of our content, stories, podcasts, videos, all that stuff on lacrossetribune.com. You can keep up with the podcast there or subscribe to it on iTunes, like I told you before. But now we will head over to an interview I did earlier today, Wednesday, with Eli McGeehan, and that will be the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and we will be back after Saturday's game. All right, we are in the UWL coaches' offices with Eli McGeehan, senior linebacker for the Eagles. Eli, I know you got class and meetings and everything today, but thanks for taking some time and joining the show.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you hosting me.
Yeah, for sure, man. So one of the reasons we want to have you on, Eli, you're having a great year and kind of made a change this week for the Whitewater game, and probably going to be something that we see throughout the rest of the season, playing middle linebacker. You started at the outside linebacker spot. How do you feel about playing middle linebacker now? Is it more comfortable for you, a little more natural for you? Just what's that transition like for you?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the coaches trust me in that role, stepping up and, you know what, I'll play wherever they put me kind of a thing.
Sure.
I do enjoy inside linebacker. It's a little bit of a learning curve. It's a lot more communication, which I don't mind. I love to talk on the field and kind of being in control of the defense and being a kind of a leader figure on that field. It was really nice, especially with the loss of Peter Kissling. I'm out there, as you know.
Sure.
Yeah, it's tough just getting used to the new position. I haven't played inside linebacker in, I don't know, 4 years.
Oh, geez, okay.
Yeah, but I really enjoy it. I feel like it is more natural for me. I like the added aggression that comes with it. At times last year when I was at Sam, they forced me to be a little bit more patient, a little slower.
Yeah, you got to be a contained guy. You got to make
sure. Yeah, exactly. So I like being downhill a little bit more. So I enjoy that. I like being physical. It's part of football. So.
Sure. Absolutely, man. You mentioned a couple there, but what are some of the key differences for you? Just the added communication, and what are some other things?
Yeah, just with that is trusting that I have to get the signal in to the guys. We got to communicate that across defense, make sure everyone's on the same page with that. I have to know not only my position, but I have to understand like where the D-line's fitting in some of our stunts. I have to understand where my help is, depending on what coverage we're in, as far as safety's coming down and who's extra in the linebacker position, if they're in coverage, or if they can help me, if I can spill to them, or if I have to force it back.
Right.
So that helps a lot.
Okay. Talking to the coach yesterday, he said you play fearless. You're a downhill guy you like to go hit. When did that start for you? Was it just instantly when you started football you were that guy, or when did that start for you?
When I started football, I'm from East Side, Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
East St. Paul, and the very first football drill I remember is me and one of my best friends growing up. Our coach lined us on either side of the 50-yard line, and they literally told us to sprint at each other and hit each other as hard as they could.
Jeez, okay.
So that was my first experience with football. And then in addition to that, I have an older brother as well. We grew up not getting along, so it was kind of – it's one of those things where, like, you have to have that mindset and not only football.
A little bit,
yeah, exactly. I think a lot of guys have that in them. They just don't realize it. I was just a product of where I grew up, and I don't know. I enjoy that quality about myself. I love competing, too, and I've always been told, and I'm a huge advocate for it, that if you hit the guy harder than they hit you, you won't really feel it. And
sure.
They will. So in my experience, that's been mostly true. So
I can hear you. If you guys want a nice fun trip down memory lane for McGeehan, you gotta watch his huddle from high school. His high school tapes, very, very impressive stuff. Lots of big hits over in, what was it, Tartan?
Yes, sir.
Your high school? Yeah, Tartan High School over there. So, looking at this week, you got Stout coming up, a team that's had a pretty good offense first few weeks, coming in 3-1. What's standing out to you during your film study and other things like that about this Stout offense?
Yeah, a big thing for us is, they like to get into a bunch of different formations, which is fine. We'll adjust to that, but their running backs are very downhill backs. Something we haven't really seen too much. We saw a little bit in the Dixon State game.
Sure.
But Whitewater's backs are they're a little bit more shifty. So it'll be a little bit of an adjustment. Make sure we stand him up. Don't let him fall forward. Get extra yards after contact. That'll be big for us. Additionally, we just know that we have to do better in the second half.
Sure.
We saw that in the Dixon State game as well as the Whitewater game. That fourth quarter was awful. We have to find a way to get off the field, give our offense another opportunity to score. It's tough for them with those guys. You know, they're having coaching transitions and all that, but we know that they have weapons on the field. Obviously, the co-speaker, Dom. You have Zach Maness that's working into the field now. And then, obviously, you have Devontae Amos, one of the most elusive backs in the league. So, yeah, it's just giving them more opportunities to get on the field, get comfortable, and at the end of the day, do our job.
Sure. Has it been frustrating the last couple of weeks? You mentioned the fourth quarter just haven't gone your way, especially the way you played in the Whitewater game for three quarters. Like, really shut them down for a lot of that game and kept, you know, getting off the field, but then just kind of snowballed on you.
Yeah, no. So, for me, it's frustrating at the time, but it's also a great learning moment. If you look at our team across the board, we're young in some positions, and it's just we know that we're that close to being a really good team. We know we are a really good team. It's that close to being a great team. So it's just stringing the entire game together and it finishing the game. We saw that we can do it when we played Wesleyan. And we've seen it in the past as well. We played
Luther.
Yes, Luther. We finished that game, and it's tough when you have success like that and then kind of dwindle off, and especially after a great half, like you said, good three quarters of the football game, just got to finish.
Absolutely, man. Looking at just kind of your career, even before you came here to UWL, having a great season this season, like I said, but you transferred from South of Minnesota State, D2 school over there. How has the experience been different, similar? Kind of what's the difference between that D2 experience and here in D3 at lacrosse?
Yeah, major difference for me is, well, as far as like a player standpoint, I love all the guys from both schools. They're all great people. Great teammates. I still talk to a bunch of them over there, obviously. A big thing for me is just the coaching transition. I feel like I can be more open with some of the coaches here. It's a better relationship. And part of that was just the nature of D2. There's, especially that when I was there, I was playing outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. It's a high turnover coaching position, just by the nature of the game.
Yeah, those coaches are trying to get to full-time position coach. Yeah.
And I've had some really good coaches out there. It's just, it's tough when they're coming in, they're learning the system, they're trying to give it to you however they want to, and then you're trying to learn how to play linebacker again every year.
Right.
So it's a little bit different with that aspect, but no. Personally, for me, it's more of the environment. I love the city of La Crosse. The people here are phenomenal. Everyone hears the term Minnesota nice, but man, I don't know. Wisconsin, being from Minnesota, I love the term and everything, but Wisconsin people are phenomenal.
Sure.
Very supportive, too.
Absolutely, man. And your senior in the program, listed as a senior here, are you a senior in school as well? Okay, so when you're looking at December graduation, May graduation?
I'm not entirely sure. I have to double check my when I transferred. Some of my credits didn't transfer over, so it's been hectic getting into classes and all that. But no, I'm excited to be done, and just enjoying school as well.
Absolutely. So you're gonna be a finance major, right?
Yes, sir.
Finance. All right. So any business people listening, get this man a job when he graduates.
Appreciate that.
And we've talked about it a little bit before, but you got, you know, a lot of your family that comes to the games, see them, got a chance to meet a couple of the games this season so far. A very supportive family, but they've got a pretty interesting story, a little background on yourself. You mind sharing it with the listeners here?
Yeah, so just my family origin and all that. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that it's Korean kid. That comes from my mother's side. She's full Korean. She was adopted when she was a baby. She was my grandfather on that side. He had served in Vietnam, and it was a time where, like, it wasn't very accepted to kind of adopt Asian children at the time. So they took a big risk on that, and we're very grateful for that. I remember that she grew up in a pretty difficult household too, with my grandmother. She was working two or three jobs at the time. My grandfather's military, and he was always working. He also did welding, so.
Sure.
That was very difficult. She was the oldest of the group. There's four children up there on her side of the family. There's her, my aunt, who's also Korean, was adopted, and then we have two uncles that were twins. And just being that, she was the oldest of the bunch, and when both my grandparents were at work, she kind of had to take care of them. So that was a phenomenal job. I think she's done a very good job raising us, me, my brother, my younger sister, and then she even took in my younger cousin, who's at Winona now.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we've grown up where family's very important to her. It's the most important thing. It's part of why I think family's one of the most important qualities for me as well. Going to my father's side, he's just a role model for me. I think in the entirety of me playing sports, I think he's missed a grand total of 2 football games, both at the college level. One of them was in Minot, North Dakota, which is
really far away.
Yeah, and then the other game he missed, he was helping my grandma move and building a pole barn and all that fun stuff. So I don't blame him. but no, coming into football games, he's the first person I look for in the stands. He's kind of my rock on the field. So very helpful having his support. And then my brother even came to our last game, which was awesome. I don't see him very often.
Sure. Just
the nature of him being in school still as well. He's going to be a linesman. He's a great role model for myself as well. And I don't know, family is just the most important thing for me.
Absolutely, man. And you kind of mentioned it with your brother growing up, just with the family with that background and everything. I got to imagine toughness kind of just breeds into that. You kind of just grow up having that a little bit. How much do you think that background has helped you become the football player that you've been?
I think that's one of the most important, if not the most important things for me, just the environment of how we grew up. That's how my whole dad's side of the family is.
Right.
He grew up with 2 other brothers as well. And they're pretty scrappy guys themselves. That's just how our family is. I think that in turn kind of correlates to sports in general, just the competitive nature of it. I hate losing. I personally I love to have fun and all that, but at the end of the day, man, I hate losing. And it's hard to do the balance of being a leader and just, you know, trying to pick everyone else up and then sitting there and sulking because you're bitter about the loss.
Sure.
I think part of that's about growing up as well, though. Sports has taught me a lot. I know when I was younger, I didn't handle losses as well. But I think you have to understand that everything is a learning experience as well. Win, lose, or draw. And coming with that, I would rather lose a really close game and know that we played our best than to go blow a team out that didn't deserve to be on the field with us.
Sure.
Like we've talked about, and I know Coach Smith preaches this, if we could play the best team in the league every week, we would.
Right.
I'm a firm believer in that, and I love physical football, so I'm glad that we have those types of teams in our league.
So. Oh, absolutely, man. 6 games left here, just kind of, as you're wrapping up your football career, I know it's tough to think about it in the middle of it, but just what do you want to take away from these last 6 games to make sure that hopefully you get a 7th or whatever to make the playoffs and see what happens, but 6 guaranteed ones, what do you want to take away from those as you leave college and leave football?
Yeah, it's the most dreadful part of being a senior. When I was in high school, I used to hate the thought of thinking about when my last football game would be. And then when I got to college, I was like, I've had 1 knee surgery, thankfully, since, and I'm still playing. So for me, it's more the memories of the guys and enjoying the sport and understanding that it will come to an end. And I guess for me, it would just be getting the most value out of it while I can and still have it, the opportunity to. I know there's some great guys on our team that don't have the opportunity anymore, and there's more that may not, given that some of my underclassmen and injuries do happen in the sport. It's just something we can't take for granted, and I think part of that is going into practice with a great mentality of this has to be our best practice, especially knowing that it can be your last at any given moment. So just with that, I just want to have fun while I play and try and be a positive role model for our underclassmen and anyone else who watches our team.
Absolutely. All right, well, you can see Eli and the rest of the UWL defense at 2:00 at Stout this weekend. Hopefully get back in the win column here. But Eli, thank you so much for the time, man.
Thank you, Colton.